This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome to it, everybody. Happy as we can be on a Wednesday afternoon, middle of the week get-together, Gwen and Chris on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, together back in San Diego at our Odyssey Palace studios after a great two-day trip to Peoria. Tony Gwynn Jr., we left him there, and he and the Padres have a day off. So Tony joins us from Peoria today, and of course, we'll try to lift the spirits of the Aztec faithful. But Tony, I don't have a whole lot of speeches for losing by 40. You know, I don't lead the league in those, so.
I'm salty. I'm salty. I ventured down the rabbit hole of reading tweets, and I got a bone to pick with a lot of people. A lot of people I know. Will Gavez, when I see you, it's on site, dog. I didn't like the way the words you... People like use like these really dramatic words to describe things sometimes. That was really irritating. I was already dealing with a 40-point loss.
Yeah.
Get on Twitter and you see these.
Oh, can I read it? I didn't see this from Will.
Oh, you got it there?
That one got under my skin a little bit.
Well, San Diego State tweeted out, "Not our night. Thank you for the support." And Will quote tweeted, "What utterly pathetic, atrocious, embarrassing performance from the Aztecs basketball
team." I was mad.
Yeah.
I was already irritated about the 40-point loss.
Sure.
I didn't see people who I know. You know, going in like that.
Yeah, it's not appropriate.
Like, it's a little early. Like, we just lost. Can we, like, at least get 24 hours and then you can kind of come with the super nastiness? That one kind of irritated me.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I feel you. I feel you, Tony. And I was worried about that myself because I think there's two ways you look at the game last night. One is you look at the game itself, and it was atrocious. I mean, that was about as bad as they can play. And I assume it's about as good as North Carolina can play. So you're going to put those two things together, you're going to get a result like you got. But I think you also have to still look at all of this in the realm of the entire scope of Aztecs basketball. And, you know, I watched the whole game. And it was obvious that they were not going to win probably midway through the first half. But I watched
I don't even know that it took that long, honestly.
That's right.
I was doing a baseball game and was just kind of checking in, and at no point did I feel like, we're going to make a run here.
No, they weren't. They made a 4-0 run, I think, at one point. That was about the best they got. But, I mean, as I was watching the second half, I honestly felt that it was a bit of a tribute to what I think about this program and these coaches and these players. I felt like I owed it to watch the whole game. They got crushed last night. They know that. Nick Boyd said as much.
He said they got punked.
He did. He was right. He
loved what Nick Boyd had to say.
Absolutely. And he said, you're not an athlete, you're not a competitor if you don't take this with you and work harder in the offseason. That's exactly what I want to hear. But to me, Tony, this was not the... Okay, it ended up 21-10. You got eliminated in the first round, and you got blown out. They got blown out last year in the Sweet 16. I mean, UConn beat them by 30 last year. Should we have been disappointed that last season ended so badly? I wasn't. Sweet 16, following a year when you made the national championship game. This program has given us 8 consecutive 20-win seasons. They've given us 19 consecutive 19-win seasons. They've given us 7 NCAA wins in the last 2 years. And this year, even though everyone's going to say today it was a terrible year and this and that, They gave us an overtime thriller against Houston. They gave us four or five incredible comebacks, two against San Jose State, one against Wyoming, and a last-second miracle win at Air Force. They delivered once again this year. The winter was fantastic. The games were exciting. This is what I want out of my basketball program. Do I want to lose like that? Of course not. And, you know, we can be critical where you need to be a little critical, but overall, I got what I wanted out of this year. They gave me a lot of thrills and a lot of big wins and some great play and some great players developing, and coaching was probably as good as it's ever been, considering the fact that they had, what, seven freshmen in the rotation, or freshmen or sophomores. I can't be that disappointed. I didn't like it. But for people to tweet out, you know, so many much negative, I hope that's just frustration.
It was. I was partly joking about being irritated. I mean, I was irritated. It did, like, irritate me, but I wasn't, like, pissed at anybody. I just, everybody's frustrated. I get that. But I don't even think it needs to go that deep. Here's what we do know about this team. All those things you just said are 100% fact and true, in my opinion.
Right.
But there were signs all season long that this was a youthful team that was going to have to learn on the fly. They didn't have the same type of experience that they've had over the last 3 years, where they've been some of the older teams going into a tournament. They were the youngest team in this tournament. And they played like that. They played like a group that hadn't been on this stage. And Boyd alluded to it in his press conference, in the sentiment that he was happy that those guys got to experience it, because many of them had never experienced it before.
Yeah.
And so, I just think that, in some ways, this was kind of what it was going to be, right?
I mean,
I think at times during the year, especially early, the wins against Houston, some of the other wins that they had early on, had us convinced that, oh, maybe this young group is going to pick it up really fast. But if you paid as close attention as we did over the course of the season, there were plenty of signs that there was youth and learning that needed to happen in order for them to be good. We could all cross our fingers and hope that they're going to pick it up as soon as we would like it to happen. But typically, you know, those things take time. And I think this group, you know, should everybody, you know, that, you know, is going to be impactful come back, is going to be a really difficult team to deal with next year.
Yes. And they're going to add Reese Waters to it if they're able to keep everybody.
They're adding Reese Waters as well. And so, you know, as disappointing and as upsetting as that 40-point loss was to North Carolina, I have a high school friend that I went to Poway with that played volleyball there.
Yeah.
She certainly hit me with a DM right after the game. I had forgot that she had gone to school there. But nonetheless, I'm not crazy upset about this. I think this is only going to get better, I think.
Yeah, I'm able to put it into perspective. That said, it was an awful 2 hours to have to sit through.
We're going to wait, hold on. We spent so much time on this on the show about you driving home. Next segment, we're going to talk about your experience.
My experience.
Because driving home, Chris, not kidding, once things started going bad, I'm like, this is sad and hilarious that Chris is going to get home excited about this game and then see what's happening.
Oh, you couldn't say anything, huh?
Well, he wasn't going to check his phone. And so I tweeted. I said, this is sad and hilarious. And people were like, tell him. I'm like, he's not going to look at his phone.
I did not look at my phone until about 2 a.m. after it was all over.
Sammy Lev even called me and said, can you believe Chris is going to watch this later?
And Chris did.
That's great.
But, you know, here's the thing. North Carolina was so good in this game. that I almost started to hate Michael Jordan for a while. Like, it was it was just insane. I mean, R.J. Davis, I know the R.J. Davis is good. He's the second leading scorer in North Carolina history. But 6 for 6 on threes?
Dang, you almost started to hate MJ? That's
what I mean. No, they were so good. Right, I know. They were so good. Somebody put out a meme of MJ rocking back and forth and said, this is what all North Carolina fans feel right now. But R.J. Davis goes 6 for 6. Yeah. They hit 80% of their threes in the first half. And even if the Aztecs were better than this, I don't think they could have kept up with that. I don't know when the last time a San Diego State basketball team's given up 95 points, but I bet it hasn't been for a long, long time.
I was going to say, I'm not sure that it has happened in this era.
Because when I was watching it, you know, as everyone was, realizing they were just hoisting threes, trying to get back in
that
the game.
That was their biggest mistake.
Is that a sign of a young team?
No, exactly. Yeah. Here's the other thing. Here's the other thing that you very rarely have seen. It's been a long time since you've seen, I should say, that they look like they had a hard time just getting into their offense because of the defensive pressure that North Carolina was putting on them. So once they fell behind, for a young team, you could see how the shot selection would deteriorate as it seemingly did. And on top of that, they kind of neutralized a lot of the things that the Aztecs do well or had advantages in. And it was just a rough day all around.
But you're right, Scraby. I think you hit it on the head. When you're a young team and you can't find anything, you settle and you say, well, I got to put something up. And how many threes did they shoot with 2 seconds left in the shot clock? I mean, that was basically the last thing was available to them. So, people are being a little critical, I think, too much of Miles Bird. He did not have a great game, all right?
Single performance was turning that game around.
Exactly. Let's leave out, individual performances. This was a team loss in every sense of the word. And, Carolina's already a big favorite to beat Ole Miss in the next game. And if they play like that, they may win 2 or 3 more games. I'm not sure. But, it wasn't, as we discussed earlier, I dealt with it a lot better than I thought I would. I don't like to lose like this. Nobody does. But, the great from this program easily outweighs 2 hours of whatever that was last night. So, that's all I can say.
I turned it off. I was like, I'm not watching this
there
anymore.
Wasn't much, much reason.
I stopped getting updates from Dave Marcus after, honestly, I felt it like early. Once they got like the first big lead.
Yeah.
And I think it was the second timeout.
It was 13.
You could just tell.
You could tell. We weren't getting any looks, and they were getting every look, and they were making everything. So
every time I pulled away from the desk to look back over there, somebody was being harassed, like high up, just past half court. And then it was like 10 seconds on the shot clock at that point. And, it turned into a bad shot pretty much every time I turned my head to look.
I have two questions for you guys on the other side.
All right, we'll get into that. A couple of things. First of all, the San Diego State basketball season is not over. That's because the women's team is still alive. And to that, we are going to have two of their players in studio with us at about 3:30 today. Both Kim Villalobos and Megan Fizo are going to join us. We're excited, looking forward to that. The women's team leaves for Louisiana tomorrow, and they'll have their shot in the NCAA. So we will get into some of that. My journey to watch last night's game. We will give you some of that as well.
That's the only thing I want to talk about.
I know a lot of people want to know, what was it like in my shoes last night? So I will be happy to share that with everybody. Padres, if you're wondering, are off today. So a day off to relax in Peoria. Tony will be with us throughout the program. And we'll get rolling here on Gwynn and Chris. Happy you're with us. Wednesday, get together. San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan.
2:19 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Sello, Matt Scraby. Off day for the pods. They'll pick things up again here tomorrow. Almost done with spring training, man. Monday is the last game. Come home after the 12:05 Wago. Tuesday off day. Wednesday off day.
Did he slip a little Spanish in there?
Yeah, he slipped in Juego.
Very good, Tony. Yeah. Impressed.
You know, so yeah, that's that. Now let's get to what we really need to talk about.
Yes.
I mean, Chris had, you know, pretty much he made it known that he was not wanting to hear anything, see anything before arriving home from the 5+ hour drive back from Arizona. And he held strong to that. How was your experience, Mr. Ello?
It was pretty normal for me. I know this is not normal for anybody else, but I want people to understand that I have watched NBA Game 7 championships featuring the Bulls, my favorite team, at 1 in the morning on VCR. I just, back in those days. Now DVD, DVR. This is very normal for me. I did plug in the phone on the car so that I would be listening to music. No chance that I'd be running into a radio station that might say something I didn't want to hear. The only thing that did go through my mind was this. Now, I think everybody's kind of, we had Apple CarPlay.
Okay.
In the car, in the room. We rent a car. Yeah, we rent a car, by the way,
yeah,
Tony.
That's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah, that's another conversation.
Day.
My wife
well,
does not
the
like...
What's the point of buying a car if you're
she
not
doesn't
gonna...
like to use our cars to drive over to Peoria.
She'd not going to argue with Lori.
Don't argue with Lori. Just rent the car and get with it. So we rented the car.
Get with it.
Yeah, it had the Apple CarPlay. So you're right, Tony. Right across the bottom, there's a little banner that pops up when you get a text. The good news for me is all I can see is who the text is from. I can't see anything that's said in the text.
Right.
But in driving 5 hours and knowing that the game had ended at 8:30 or so, and
who
I got home at 12 o'clock, no one texted me. Not one.
Wow.
And I was concerned.
Antennas went up.
The antenna went up that something really bad must have happened.
Really?
Yeah.
Because if they would have won, everybody would have been texting you.
Yes, yeah. I feel like somebody would have texted somewhere and said...
I feel like you made it very clear on the radio to San Diego, do not contact me tomorrow night.
But I know, Scraby, but I have other friends.
I don't know, believe this... I was about to say, believe it or not, Scrape, not everybody listens
to
the radio.
I don't believe that.
Yes, I have other friends that are diehard, you know... Aztec crazy fans, crazier than me even.
For sure.
And I just feel had we won, or even if it had been a close game and they lost on a, you know, some technicality, somebody somewhere would have just sent a text. Now, I wouldn't have read it, but the fact that I didn't even receive a text got me thinking that this wasn't going to go well.
Oh, no.
So when I
already had an inkling.
I did. I had an inkling.
He was tipped off.
I was tipped off. And when I got home, you know, I did. I put all the stuff away.
Put your stuff away before you watch the game?
I still have OCD.
Listen,
have OCD. Yeah, I got to put my stuff away. That's just me.
For sure.
Yeah.
I still have OCD.
I still have that, yeah. So I had to get everything put away. Got Lori, you know, taken care of, set up in bed, you know, got her to bed. She knew I was going to stay up and watch the game. Got the dog taken care of. And then, you know, honestly, having DVR, I think, came in kind of handy last night.
Yeah.
I mean, who the hell wanted to sit there for 2.5 hours?
Can I tell you what I
mean? I was able to at least fast forward through a lot of it.
I put on Twitter, I thought you were going to watch most of the first half. And then when they pulled away in the second, right out of the gate in the second half is when you started fast-forwarding. But you watched the entire game.
I did. Yeah. And I told you why earlier. To me, it's a tribute to the program. I think I owe it to be there, win or lose. And last night was lose. There's no question. But I wasn't going to leave early. And, you know, I spent a lot of the second half, honestly, thinking about how lucky they were to win as many games as they did the last 2 years in the tournament. It's not easy, and that proved it.
That is an interesting place to be at 1:30 a.m. on the
couch.
But
that's where I was.
You know what? The Aztecs, they're actually really lucky. Good. You know, your mind does weird things at 1:30.
Yeah.
I think that's legit. I mean, I personally see my phone because I have there's a group text of a bunch of us that went to school together.
Right.
I would have had to find out one way, because they would have either been like some angry
yeah.
texts going on there, you know, or we would have, everybody would have been excited. So I get kind of being tipped off there. Nobody gets just crickets because it was just a tough performance.
See, if they beat North Carolina by 10, somebody would have had to have sent me something.
Sure. See, it would have bothered me more to see the name of the person but not know what they sent me, because I'm like, okay, what could they be sending me? Because the name of the person tells you everything. If it's if it's me, Chris knows I'm trying to give him a score.
You got to understand this, Scraby. I've been doing this for not just a year or two.
Hey, you know what's funny?
I always do this, Chris.
I developed a system in the years that the Lakers were like terrible and they were like losing games, where I would record a game and I'd start out watching, and it would, you know, when they were bad, it would start going bad quick. And so I would like only look at the clock, and I'd be like, all right, I'm going to stop it at this time right here. See if they've closed the gap. Right. And I'd only do that till we got to about the third quarter. If a lot of times by that time, team is pulled away, but occasionally you start to, okay, if they get it to under 10 here and before 2 minutes,
I'm gonna
start
watching
the rest.
yeah, there's a lot of, I don't know, I think I can't be the only person that does this, but I'm the only person I've ever met who does this.
I still think, because you guys always say I don't love sports, I like sports. Watching things DVR'd, sports DVR'd, and your favorite team DVR'd is a sacrilegious thing for a sports fan. Mm. Unless you can't.
Wait, it's a sacrilegious?
Yeah. All sports fans should be in front of their TVs or in the car near the radio.
Yeah, but what if you can't get to it?
That's a different story. Like, Chris could have gotten to it. He could have watched it on his phone.
No, I would have had to.
No, he was driving.
I was driving.
He was driving.
That wouldn't have been too good.
I mean,
I could have had my wife drive and
you know what I
sat
did?
In the back seat, but I don't think that would have.
You can't. You could. He could have been like these dookie drivers here in in Arizona. And I was riding back with Jesse yesterday, and literally looked over on the freeway and saw a chick, two hands on the phone,
come on,
like up near the steering wheel.
Yeah, that's
it was amazing.
That's way too common in Peoria. I agree with you, Tony.
Come on. And Chris was mad at me for stopping at the yellow light. That's the person who's going to just smash right into us.
Yeah, they're going to smash into
they're
you.
They're going to be like, you messed up my show.
They're going to smash into you because you're stopping short at the yellow light.
All right, real quick. Next question. How does Magoon Gwoth stay in Aztec next year?
Tony, Annie's up.
Put it on Tony.
I got to put it on Tony Gwynn Jr. Tony's got Annie up. He's an alum. You got to go to the big alums. I don't know. I they're doing everything they can, and I got to believe the Dutcher they've already started working on trying to keep him. You know, whatever they have to do, but.
Like a thing that's being talked about?
I think it's being talked
are
about.
Are we just assuming he's going to want more money?
I'll be honest with you, Tony. I don't think anyone is assuming Magoon Gwoth wants more money.
Yeah.
I think what we're worried about is that somebody's going to come with a bag. And if somebody comes with a bag, what's he supposed to do? You know, I mean, can you turn the bag down and say, well, I really like my, you know, my people at San Diego State, or do you have to take the bag? That's my worry. I don't think he wants to leave, but somebody comes with a ton. What's he going to do?
I don't know. I mean, we've seen this kind of hit. We saw this hit the Aztecs, last year?
Right. They've lost. They lost five guys. I mean, Lamont Butler stayed an extra year, right? Remember that after he hit the game-winning shot, they wanted him then. And he said, no, I'm loyal to the Aztecs and his father. And everybody said, no, we love the program. But then after last season, Kentucky came with so much money that, you know, his father said, we have to take this money. It's
right.
just silly not to.
Right.
Yeah. Right. That's what I'm worried about with Magoon Gwoth. So
I don't know. I've been encouraged lately just kind of hearing about, I know we've been talking about Rick Pitino, but I read a story about how they basically are doing it, and he's not like offering these kids the bank, right? But he's able to keep them though somehow. And so you start to hope that kids will value, you know, where they're at and what they're getting to learn when they're there. To go along with, obviously these guys are going to garner some cash from someplace, right? So I'm not saying that you just hope that isn't the only thing that's, you know, I think that's probably why Dutch has been successful. He's created a what's the word I'm looking for? A culture in which
guys
want to and listen, they're going to get him. I'm assuming they're going to get him, try to get him as much bread as they can get him. But you hope that is enough to go along with everything else that the school presents.
Yeah, because he's such a major cog for that. I mean, you put him in the middle of a defense, you know, the way they play defense, and I give him another year of, you know, experience. I mean, he came so far this one year. So an offseason working with this staff, I mean, there's no telling how good he can be. You hope this team stays together because, as you said earlier, Tony, they're going to be really good with all these guys getting another run at it. I mean, that's pretty scary for the rest of the Mountain West if it happens. So
yeah, no, let's
keep our fingers crossed. Yeah, right.
All right, let's get to break. When we return, are we going fantabulous?
I guess so. My brain is not working great today, so maybe it will help.
Oh, he's putting out the disclaimers before we even
so
get this bad boy
tired.
Rolling.
My brain
isn't
not
working today, he said.
I'm probably going to lose.
Let me ask you this. How is today different than any other day?
I at least have a little bit more neurons firing on a day that I get sleep. Because you know what? I mean, I went to bed at like 2 in the morning because I couldn't fall asleep. And then my guy Lucky, 6:30, let's go, Dad. Let's get outside. You're home.
Lucky don't want to hear the excuses, just like we don't want to hear the excuses.
Exactly.
Let's get to break. More Gwitta Chris on the other side.
Ben and Woods on the Fan.
I've been listening to you guys for the past 4 months. You guys are super rad. All the content you put out, Ben, Paul, Woody, you guys are awesome.
I'm used to it, Ben, Paul, the other guy.
Hey.
Just always an afterthought.
On your own show.
On my own show.
That's my favorite phone.
2:37 is the time. Gwen and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. An hour from now, Aztec women's basketball players, Kimby Alobos, Megan Fizo, will be in studio. Yes, Aztec fans, the season is not over yet. Tonight, the UCSD women's basketball team plays Southern. Wish them the best in their play-in game. Tomorrow, the UCSD men take on Michigan. So there's still a lot of March Madness around here. And we should point out that we keep saying the Aztecs lost by 40. They actually really didn't lose by 40.
The score was much kinder to them than the actual game was.
Thanks to our bench warmers, who are far superior to their bench warmers, the Aztecs outscored them something like, 26-10 down the stretch, and actually only lost by 27. So let's be clear about that. Padres are idle today. They are now find themselves a game back of the Dodgers in the NL West. Dodgers won again in the middle of the night, 6-3 this time over the Cubs. Shohei Ohtani homered. Although, did you see it, Tony?
I have not.
I barely got a look at it. There apparently somebody reached out over the fence and grabbed the ball, and people are saying that they should not have called it a home run. That they only called it a home run because of where the game was being played. So,
yes,
a little criticism of Shohei. There's always a conspiracy.
Conspiracies for you, yeah, you know,
yeah. And the other note from that game was that Scraby's favorite pitcher, Roki Sasaki.
Oh, yeah. What happened, Chris?
He struggled big time. He walked 5 in like 3 innings, and he only gave up 1 run, but he walked 5. He, what did he throw? 59 pitches?
56, 25 for strikes.
Only 25 for strikes. So he.
Look at me. I'm like, when I'm targeted and focused on like trashing someone, I know the stats.
Yes. What are you, the pitching whisperer all of a sudden over there?
Just the 56 pitching hater.
Yeah, I imagine Sasaki's a little nervous, so give him that. But
I mean, I why would this should not be a surprise? I mean, we saw Yamamoto, who's much more of an experienced pitcher, come over and struggle in the same way. I mean, you know, these guys are they get built up as, you know, these. And listen, he may very well get to the end of the season, and LeBoto did, where he was, like, unhittable at the end, you know? So this is going to be a process. It's not a surprise to me that he had a little bit of struggle in his first, probably amped up. He's pitching back at home. His first big league start, 5 walks. That's what that sounds like to me, a guy who was just overly amped and couldn't figure out how to control that.
I know that's what it sounds like to you, Tony, but to Scraby, it sounds like a pitcher that's overrated and we're glad we don't have him.
No, you're not a listener to the Scraby show. You're not listening to the Scraby show, Chris, so you wouldn't know that I have been saying for weeks that I'm probably going to come out looking like an idiot on this Roki Sasaki thing because he's probably going to be pretty good.
Well, he wasn't.
What I wonder often for you, Scrape, is how long you've been doing this now, like baseball. How long?
Oh, baseball,
like,
7 years. As long as we've been here,
7 years, and in those 7 years, you still have not learned that baseball is probably not a good sport to like jump out the window and just make these proclamations. You like consistently do it though. I don't understand it.
You know, when I feel good about something, I feel good about something, and then I realize later that I probably shouldn't have felt so good about it. So, yeah. Roki Sasaki is going to be my latest foot and mouth moment.
I think Tony's trying to teach you some lessons you are not willing to learn.
I'm willing to learn. I'm just not putting him in practice.
I see. All right. Well, maybe you
just not putting.
No, he's not doing it.
Chris says, "I see."
Yes. All right. Well, let's see if you can learn how to win a matchup against Tony in today's Chris's Fantabulous Sports Game Show, Scrape.
Hey, all you beautiful people out there! It's time to play one of our favorite games of the week.
All right.
We like to call it.
Ooh, I'm gonna go.
Chris's Fantabulous Sports Game Show. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we have some fun with this once in a while, and it's time for a Fantabulous Sports Game Show. I think you guys are going to find this to be a very fair category today. I expect a good contest between Tony and Scraby. You can play along out there, see how many other correct answers you can get, and let's get to it. There are 22 correct answers today, guys, 22 correct answers. First player to 12 will win, or if you miss a guess, then you get a strike, and 3 strikes, you're out. Here is the category, and I think you guys are going to laugh when you hear the category, because it's me who chose this category. I want you guys to name...
Is it always you?
Who else would choose the category?
I know. You'll see what I mean. You'll see what I mean.
Okay.
Who are the best 22 players last year in Major League Baseball? Flat out, the best 22 players in baseball as judged by WAR.
Oh.
That's why I know you guys would laugh, because you know I hate that statistic.
Oh.
There were 22 players.
Both Tony and I are like, ugh.
This is tough. This is tough. There were 22 players, that is position players and pitchers, who had a WAR of 5.0 or better. 22. 18 are position players, 4 are pitchers. So you know that going in. And you got to guess the 22 best players in baseball according to WAR last year.
Okay.
I think this is up your alley, Scraby. You're kind of an analytic guy. You're trying to teach me this stuff.
A little bit.
So let's see how you do. And we know Tony will do well because he always does. Scraby, you want to go first? Give me one of the top players in Major League Baseball last year. Had a WAR above 5.
Juan Soto.
Juan Soto had a 7.9.
That's it?
7.9.
I got to rethink list. I thought he was going to have like a 15 WAR or something
that
like
dude,
that.
That's 8. That's an 8 plus wins right there
okay,
for
you're
you.
Right. That
yes,
is a lot.
He finished 6th in that category. Number 6 was 7.9.
So that's it?
That's it?
That's it. All right, Tony, give me somebody who was a 5.0 or better WAR last year.
Oh, Adam Kluge.
Sorry,
go ahead, Tony. My bad.
Hey, you're interrupting the
guy. I know, my bad.
Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge, number one. Number one last year with a 10.8 WAR. Not only was he 10.8, he was 1.5 points better than anyone else in baseball. That WAR did not include him dropping the fly ball in the World Series, however. I thought I'd point that out.
That
had to get that in. Had to get a little twist in there for the Yankee
that's
people.
That's messed up, man.
All right, we got Soto and Judge. Very good.
Oh, I got one.
All right, Scrape, who do you have?
My guy, Bobby Witt Jr.
Bobby Witt Jr. is number two.
Oh, good one.
Bobby Witt Jr.
Good player.
32 homers, 31 steals, 9.4 war. Second best in all of Major League Baseball, Bobby Witt Jr. Very good. All right. You guys got three of the top six to start things off. Remember, there are four pitchers, 18 position players. Tony, your guess.
Skubal.
Tarik Skubal. Correct. He was the number one pitcher last year with a 6.3. The Cy Young Award winner in the American League, 18-4 record. So we're tied at two. Scraby, your turn.
I think first to 12. I think I should go with the best pitcher of last year.
All right.
I'm hoping he played enough games to accumulate enough war. Paul Skeens.
Paul Skeens, the rookie of the year in the National League.
And the way you're setting this up, I don't like it.
4.9. He did not quite make it. Skeens is
looking for
a
something
strike.
To throw, but everything is breakable, so I can't.
Oh, please fire something across the room.
No, I can't.
That's what we like to
see. That is annoying. Not only can he not get the 5 WAR, but he gets the Rookie of the Year?
Scraby's ducking off. Jeez.
What did you just hit?
The microphone.
The microphone. Yeah, Skeens was... He was 23rd, I guess, is what you'd call it. He just missed it, but he didn't make it. So you got a strike. Tony, your turn. You can take the lead here. It's only 2-2, and Scraby's got a whiff already.
Mm.
Tony, who you got? One of the top players in all of baseball. Be anybody. He's thinking. This is tough, I guess.
Oh. How about Shohei?
Yeah, I thought you guys might guess him.
Why did I never think of that one?
Yeah, he's probably one you'd guess. 50. Just a reminder, 54 homers, 59 steals. For people who don't remember. 9.2 war, third best. And you got to assume his war would have been a little higher had he played any defense at all. Right? He did this only batting.
Yeah.
So that's impressive.
Now, Adam Klug has a good... distinction on the chat. Is this B war or F war?
Not F war.
Okay.
Thank you, Adam. Yes, it is regular war as a
get out of here, nerd.
Yeah, no kidding, man. No nerds allowed in the Fantabulous Game Show.
I'm going to go with the Cy Young Award winner in the National League, Chris Sale.
Chris Sale, 6.2. He did get there. 18-3 for him. And you've tied it up at three. You guys have now used two of the pitchers, there are two left. And there are 16 correct answers total as Tony goes back here in a 3-3 game. Guessing one of the best players in all of baseball last year. 5.0 war or better. I may have to start giving you guys some hints.
I got a couple names.
You got a couple more names? Okay. I will say all these guys did have amazing years. But there's also a few in there that are a little surprising to me. There's a few guys that surprised me, but I think if you think of guys that were really studs, that you're going to be okay, except for Paul Skeens, who just missed it.
How about Harp? How about Bryce?
Bryce Harper. That's a strike. Bryce Harper did not get there last year. He had a 4.8 war.
So yeah, I knew that was a risk right there.
Yeah, Skeens 4.9 and Harper 4.8, so you guys just missed on those guesses. We're tied at three, and we have one strike apiece. This is a contentious Fantabulous Sports Game Show. People out there yelling a few names, I'm sure, that are coming to their minds.
Zach Wheeler.
Risky, Scraby, going for one of the two remaining pitchers out there. But a risk that pays off.
Ooh, you had me scared.
Zach Wheeler, 6.1. He had a great year, 16-7, 224 Ks. Scraby takes the lead. There's only one pitcher left. And I'm going to just tell you this. I'd be surprised if you guys get that one pitcher because I think it surprised me. I'll just say that.
Ooh, maybe I know.
I would go the other way and try hitters here. You got Scraby with a 4-3 lead. Tony, coming off of a strike, a rare strike for him.
How about...
It's not coming to Gunnar Henderson. Gunnar Henderson. Baltimore Orioles shortstop. 37 homers, that's 21 steals, 9.1. He was there. He's the fourth highest in all of Major League Baseball last year. Very good, Tony. So you guys have got the top four, and we got a 4-4 tie with one strike apiece. We're right back where we started. Scraby, your turn.
How about Jose Ramirez?
That's a good guess, and it's correct. Jose Ramirez, the most... I still think he's the most underrated player in the
league. He might be, because he does not look like he's a world-class athlete, but he is.
He hit 39 homers last year and stole 41 bases.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like a guy that could steal one base.
No, but he can do everything.
He's a baller. He had a 6.8 war, so he was clearly in there. Scraby leads 5-4. I'm thinking you might win this, Scraby. Tony's kind of scuffling here.
My mind's starting to
Starting to percolate. Okay, what do you got, Tony?
How about Jack Merrill?
Ooh,
I was not sure after the Paul Skeens thing.
4.4. He did not make it. Jackson Merrill.
Oh!
Wow. Not one of the top 22 in war.
The only reason I didn't guess him, because I would have guessed him, is because Chris and I talked about how he was second to Paul Skeens in war basically all year.
He was. All right. So.
All right, let me do
Tony's
this one.
Tony's on the doorstep.
Let me
and
do this
Scraby
one.
Leads 5-4.
Let me do this one.
Who you got?
Tony's on the doorstep. He
I know. I'm shocked.
Fantastic season last year. Maybe the only guy in his team to do much of anything, Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Vlad Jr. 30 homers, 103 ribs.
Like 330 batting average?
323.
Oh.
6.2. Correct. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Scraby, in the nerdy category, has a 6-4 lead.
You know what helped me is that we're making our AL East and picks, and I went
through
doing all
our
the
picks
AL
later,
East today.
And you were you're prepared. All right, Tony.
Oh, you were going off of war. Stop lying.
No.
Bro.
I was looking at stats and
stop
stuff.
It.
I was looking at stats
and
stuff.
Oh, okay.
All right, Tony. You got at least four or five super all-stars that are available here that had great years. There's a few guys that
Lindor had a good year.
Lindor had a great year.
How about Francisco?
Yes, he had a great year. Second in the MVP balloting, if I'm not mistaken. 33 homers, 29 steals, 7.0 war for Francisco Lindor of the Mets. He was eighth overall. You guys are missing number 5, number 7, number 10, and then on down the line from there. You have one pitcher left. Scraby's got the lead, which is always a surprise.
Are you going to tell us the pitcher role?
Yeah, sure, starter. No relievers. No
right.
Relievers are in the
This
top.
Is not a guess, but I was thinking possibly Emmanuel Clase.
Well, you would have been wrong, okay. So I'm glad you didn't guess that.
The starter, huh?
You're going to go for the one starter haven't named?
No. You know what I'm going to do?
Who are you going to go with? You need a really good player. Uh-oh.
Now I'm not feeling so
now
great.
Now you're not
about
feeling
this.
Good. Who do you have?
I'm trying to think, Chris.
All right.
Stop talking.
Wow.
Oh! I may go for the pitcher right now.
Okay.
And I'm probably going to be wrong. Logan Gilbert?
Logan Gilbert goes for Logan Gilbert.
No shot.
2.8. Not even in the running. Not
no
even
shot. I thought he was good last year.
He was, but his war wasn't very good.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right, we're 6.
No that was shot. Pretty dumb, guys. That was
6-5. Tony, you can tie it back up, and both of you would have 2 strikes. But, Tony, you got to get this one here.
How about... Ketel Marte.
Oh, what a year he had. 36 homers, 932 OPS.
He was polling.
6.8.
Oh, okay.
He made it. Ketel was number 10. So it is now, right? Let's take a break. Give you guys a chance to think. We're at the top of the
hour. No!
Well, just hold on to it.
No!
We're tied at 6-6. You both have 2 strikes. This is a perfect place.
You're going to make me sit on this?
Sit on it. Tony gets a little more chance to think as well. There are 10 correct answers left, and they're tough. So we'll see who ends up winning today's Fantabulous Sports Game Show when we come back. Also, some Daily Gambit stuff as we get into hour number 2.